You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Can you come and save her? Let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her. Then pray her and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when I turn right, but you turn all the way.
Hensha, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Happy Lunar New Year. I love fresh starts and restarts, and I think this year deserves one. It's also on the Muskoki calendar, bison season. Yes, it is the season that we think about, honor, and the bison is our medicine animal. So what a wonderful way to start today. What a lovely way to have a great conversation. When we were trying to think of a name for this show, can you believe 20 seasons ago? Yeah, I started this show when I was a student. And now, 20 seasons later, we're still here with awards and accolades and all of you. We were trying to think a name of the right name for this show, and we were having a terrible time. And my brother piped up and said, just call it Dawn Karima and her friends. And every week, that's exactly what this proves to be. It proves that I have the best friends in the world. Knowledgeable, wise, compassionate, caring, understanding, kind, and truly good people. Bison people. So, one of our favorite friends is with us today. Oh, what a great conversation we're going to have. Would you please introduce yourself to our friends who are listening?
Hi. I am Veronica Hanway Lee, and I am a PhD student and proud mama. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us today. Happy Lunar New Year. Happy bison season.
Happy bison season and Lunar New Year.
Oh, I always love to talk to you, and one of the reasons why is because not only are you a scholar and an activist, but a devoted mama. And so right now, when you put those things together, scholar, activist, mama, what does that mean to you?
That's a good question. I feel like all of those identities are really interconnected. Mm-hmm. As a mom, my research is really driven by my experience as a mom.
Mm-hmm.
So with the activism that I do, with the research that I do, it's all to help protect my little one.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And so when you say the word protect, I think we should start with what that means to you. When you say protect, what does that mean?
That's a good question. So protecting my son means kind of acting like a shield against infectious diseases,
mm-hmm.
bullying, gun violence, and unsafe people.
I'm really glad you clarified that for us. I think that's so important because everyone has a different definition. And in this day and age, it seems like a lot of those things are intersecting. Do you feel like a lot of the things are happening at the same time?
Oh, most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with climate change and our our world is just heating up a lot,
mm-hmm.
and there's more pathogens, and there are some studies that show that as the climate warms, there are more angry people and more anger in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to protect him from that, and just make sure that he has the tools and the health to be able to survive.
Well, there's so much in what you're saying that is so wise and helpful, but I want to unpack this a little bit. You know, you said the word pathogens, and a lot of our friends who listen might be wondering what that means.
So a pathogen is basically something that can make you sick.
Mm-hmm.
So, like right now in the news, there's a lot of discussions on H5N1 mm-hmm. and COVID. Those are pathogens. So basically germs.
And so, well, there have always been germs, right? I mean, mothers have always tried to protect their children from germs. So why are we so conscious of these pathogens right now?
So we're really conscious of the pathogens because there's been a lot of research that shows that being infected with those pathogens can have short-term and long-term consequences for people who either breathe them in or touch them. Some things are fomites, which means you can touch them, and some things are airborne, so you just breathe it in. There are waterborne pathogens that you can drink. Does that help?
Absolutely, and I think we have to talk about these things in this way because, you know, Forbes magazine just the other day had an article talking about a quademic that's hitting the U.S., with flu, COVID-19, RSV, and norovirus, like a huge stack of pathogens that are all by themselves, any one of them would be very difficult to deal with. And yet they're all hitting at the same time. And so I think it's important to set these stages in a scientific way, which is why I love your research and the work that you are doing and the activism you are doing, that we're not just going, oh, no, we don't want our children to get dirty, or we don't want them to ever encounter germs. Well, these are a particular set of especially treacherous and dangerous pathogens, and we do not want them to encounter childhood diseases. You know, we're not interested in measles and whooping cough and, you know, all of these horrible diseases touching our children. And so when we talk about that, I think it's really important to set that stage with the science, and you're doing that for us. So, well, let's do it. How do we, and I'll just use as a shorthand, when I say COVID safe, I also mean let's be safe from RSV and the flu and norovirus, you know. And when I say the flu, I mean, you know, all the variations that we are currently upset about. So what are the best ways to be COVID safe mamas today?
That's a really good question. I think it looks different for people across different demographics and class,
mm-hmm.
especially when it comes to access to the tools. So for our family and for a lot of the families that we are in community with, that means wearing respirator masks when you're mm-hmm. around other people or outside, using air filters or air purifiers, indoors mm-hmm. that can clean the air that you're breathing. Another one is social distancing and kind of being keeping your distance from other people that you might not know are sick or not sick.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one is just staying informed on the news and the science. I think that's something that's very important. And then another one is just basic hygiene with washing surfaces, washing your hands, And then another one is being clear about your safety boundaries, your health safety boundaries. Mm. So who have you been in contact with? Mm-hmm. Are you willing to do COVID tests or flu tests? And having difficult conversations on how other people are interacting with the air and the shared air around them.
Mm-hmm.
One that we're very grateful to be able to do is homeschool.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's also COVID-safe parents who send their children to school and do everything they can. They send their kids with respirator masks. They use air filters in their classrooms, and they send them with carbon dioxide monitors to monitor the recycled air in the space. And another thing is also vaccines, staying up to date on vaccines, and really just being informed on what are you breathing. We don't always know what we're breathing, and some of these things you can't see. COVID and RSV and flu, they're so tiny, so tiny that we can't really see them.
I really appreciate that entire list, because it helps us so much. There's a phrase that our family uses, and it's curated communities. And the idea that we always had to do this, you know, especially if you were a mother that cared about your children and wanted the best for them, we always had to curate the community. You know, we weren't allowed to just hang out with just anybody growing up. You know, it had to be, right? People with aligned values and good character and all of that. We're just adding another dimension, which is now these are good people, but also people that take similar precautions or respect the boundaries that we have in this additional area. You know, we always had boundaries, you know. We didn't let people smoke over our children. You know, we didn't, you know, we always had boundaries. This is just one that we've had to add. So what is the purpose then, or how does a curated community help in staying COVID safe?
Oh my gosh. That's such a good question. I think a curated community really helps give myself and my partner and other parents that I speak to hope.
Yes.
Hope is so important, especially with everything that's happening right now politically and weather-wise and everything. And having those communities that you feel safe in is really, really important. And many of them have the same values that we do: anti-racism, anti-ableism, and anti just spreading germs and getting people sick. I think it's really important that we have a community that doesn't want us to get sick.
That's right.
I don't want to get sick, and I don't want to get anybody else sick. So
That's right. And to me, I think that should just be like the bar is really low. If we don't, you know, if we can't do that, right? I mean, you know, we shouldn't want our friends to be sick or suffering in any way. And if we can do small things to prevent and protect, then okay, I'm all for it. So since we are talking about community and we're talking about staying COVID safe and staying informed, is your community a big help in staying informed with the latest research, science, advice?
Oh, most definitely. I'm a part of the coding communities on Facebook and on Twitter and TikTok and Instagram. And a lot of the information that I get from is actually from scientists who are actively doing research on COVID and long COVID. And there are some aerosol or air scientists that are really helping me stay informed of like, okay, so is this airborne? Is this spreading in the air? And then another way is just having that sense of solidarity to know that we're not the only people who are trying to protect ourselves and other people from getting sick.
Yes. Community is everything. You know, as a tribal person, I think that way all the time. You know, what is the community? Who all's going to be there? You know, like what? Who are the people that are in this particular layer of community? So important. I read an article, and I want to share it with you, because as soon as I read it, I thought of you. And it's called Meet the Americans Who Still Take COVID-19 Precautions Seriously. And it has a line in here that I wanted to read to you, because I think this is where we are now, a lot of us. This woman says, "I don't consider myself COVID cautious. I consider myself COVID competent," Zabrowski said. "Cautious would imply that I have an unreasonable fear of something. I do not have an unreasonable fear of this disease." And I love that. COVID competent is the next level, I think. You know, we all had to figure it out. We had to try to survive life. We had to get to a point where, what is happening and what do we do about it? And now we have a lot of tools and a lot of information that allow us to adjust our lifestyle, to purchase respirators, whatever it is that we need to do in order to literally be competent at dealing with this, as opposed to just, ooh, there's a boogeyman out there somewhere. Now right. It's like, we know exactly what this is, we understand the science, and we're going to use the science to avoid it. How do you feel about that?
I completely agree. There's a lot of different terms when it comes to being COVID conscious or COVID cautious or COVID competent. And I'm always curious to see what people kind of identify themselves as.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing what you just read on COVID competence, like there's no like boogeyman or whatever. We're just staying informed and staying away from something that has taken the lives of many people. It has disabled many people. And it has long-standing implications that we won't see for. I mean, we're already seeing them from 2020. I know some people with long COVID who got COVID as soon as it got to the U.S. And it's just, it's so important to be informed. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's this overwhelming, like, we don't want to talk about it. And implying that we're COVID cautious, I like some more of the COVID competent and like anti-COVID than saying cautious, because ideally everyone would be cautious of getting this disease.
Wow, you explain that so well. And I appreciate that, because I also think we have to, at this point, curate our communities for many reasons. We always did, especially among people of color or people who had different ability levels or had lifestyles that other people didn't approve of for whatever reason. I think we've always had to curate our communities and decide who's going to be in them and who's aligned with us. And then we're kind and loving to everyone else, but not necessarily inviting them in. My granddaddy used to say, everybody deserves respect, but not everybody deserves access. And I think this is one of those times when we're really having to think about boundaries, and we're having to think about access and alignment and things like that, because it is life or death. It really is. I mean, it is. So how do we begin to build and sustain these COVID-safe communities at this level, right? Because in the beginning, a lot of it was just panic, fear. People were looking for any desperate information they could find, or trying to find the science, what is really going on. And now we kind of do know what's going on. We know what this disease is capable of. We know quite a lot more than we did. And so how do we build and sustain community now that this has gone on for quite a while?
That's a good question. I think, at least for me and some other COVID-safe parents, a lot of that relies on the digital access.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And there's also other people who are using, they see someone in a mask and they're like, oh, hey, like, can we hang out? Are you avoiding COVID too?
Yeah.
And just having those conversations and checking in with yourself to see, like, does this community align with my values?
Mm-hmm.
And are they actively against racism? Are they actively against ableism? Are they actively against transphobia and homophobia? I think that's something that needs to be discussed throughout the communities, just to find out, like, some people, they say that things change and people change, and I think finding that community and then checking in to see, like, okay, what are your values at? How can we move forward? Or maybe we need to take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
And just, at least with parenting, what's your parenting style? Are you more of a kind parent towards your child or not?
Mm-hmm.
That's really important for us to have kind parents in our lives, especially because with the climate getting so much warmer, like, I would rather have kind parents in our lives instead of the opposite.
Sure. I'm wondering too, you know, in the beginning of some of these communities, the most important thing was the elephant in the room. Right? I mean, a lot of these communities come together because of a common enemy, and that's COVID. And so everybody can agree on, we need to exchange information, we need to survive COVID. And then as more of the science came forward and we kind of could develop personal protocols for this and surviving, then we had to look at the other stuff. Like, do I actually like this person, or are they just willing to wear a mask? You know?
Right.
Or if there are, as you said, some very glaring things can also be part of a community, because the most important thing was pushing back against COVID. And so a lot of other things may have not even been discussed or thought about.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we create not racist, not trans homophobic, not ableist, not classist? I mean, how do we create communities that are healthy, COVID-safe communities without those very toxic values?
That's a really good question, and something that I've been discussing with my partner a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were so many people who are COVID-safe or avoiding COVID, are so spread out geographically,
mm-hmm.
that it's kind of hard to put your trust in somebody that you just met on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with leaning into those conversations, and then also, like, doing Zoom calls. I know the one of the co-ops, the Caring Connections co-op, there's a lot of Zoom calls for kids in classes, and that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think it's very important to have conversations with the parents,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and get to know the parents more. When I was teaching some classes this past summer, I got to spend so much time with wonderful, intelligent, cute little kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on I realized I don't know all of their parents.
Right, who they belong to. Yeah, right.
Right. And I think when moving forward and sustaining the communities that we already have, getting to know everyone, and I know that not everyone in the COVID competent community are parents.
Right.
And
right.
In conversations with them, they are absolutely in awe of COVID-safe parents.
Yes.
And having conversations with them, especially because to know that, at least for myself, knowing that there are other humans who appreciate the work that we're doing.
Yes.
Especially when those statistics come out of like 98% of children in the United States have had COVID at least twice.
No.
That has longstanding implications.
Yes, lifetime ones.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it also is generational. We with the 1918 flu, they found things generations back from those infections. So thinking about that, and then also being able to lean on those community members when you're having a hard time, it's not easy, but it's important.
Yes, it is. And you know, I'm really appreciative of you saying that, because one of the challenges we have, and I'm, you know, as an Indigenous person, pandemics mean a lot to us that they may not have meant to other people at first. But we understand genocide and pandemics are why there's so few of us in the earth right now. And so when we hear pandemics, we probably hear it with a lot of historical grief and trauma, but we also hear it with a determination, never again. And that's why I have to really appreciate all of the parents that are making sacrifices, that are going without the things they used to do and enjoy, who are spending money and time or losing income so that one partner can stay home and homeschool. You know, because I understand what an act of love that really is. You know, just to say to your child, this is your legacy. Maybe other people will leave their children $1 million in their will, but I am leaving you a healthy set of lungs and a heart that can beat strong and a mind that is not filled with brain fog. I am making my sacrifices now so that your entire legacy will be whole and healthy as possible. So I want to say to all of the parents who are trying right now, to the partners, to the people who are helping, right? Because a lot of us have other family members that are making sacrifices too, so that our children can stay safe. Thank you. Just thank you for that. We're just grateful and we're thankful. We're going to commercial, but I'm so glad we get to come back and spend some more time with this great soul, this amazing human. We'll be right back.
Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back. What the world forgave you.
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go for those of you that's on the go. You can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcasts for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcast. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage, scroll down to Featured Podcast, click on Play, or click on Subscribe for more programs.
or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come, another reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years, Smokey's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hey, I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see.
D-E-P-R.
Mental illness doesn't show up on a scale.
Bipolar?
Sorting out a mental health concern takes professional diagnosis and treatment.
Anxiety. I thought so.
If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support.
Wow. Thank you so much for having this conversation with us. We are so blessed to be able to learn from you. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Oh, yeah. My name is Veronica Hanway Lee, and I am a proud academic mama, COVID-safe mama.
That's wonderful. And if folks wanted to learn more about you or connect with you, do you have a way that they could do that, learn more about your work and what you're doing?
Oh, of course. They can find me on TikTok. My handle is at GEOHIPPIE or Twitter at Earth. HIPPIE or Instagram pandemic.parenting or even on Facebook. My name is Veronica Lee on Facebook.
Perfect. That's a wonderful. I'm so blessed and I enjoy being your friend so much. It's wonderful. So I'm so glad that you're there to share what you know with everyone else. You said pandemic parenting, and I think we have to talk about that. Because it's a really different kind of parenting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so why? I mean, you know, like when you get the, I know you probably did it, I did it too, you get the, you know, how to raise your baby book when you have a baby, right? And they mm-hmm. tell you all these things you're supposed to do, and you're like, this is so wonderful, I'm so glad I get to do this. And then not one mention of a pandemic. Not one.
Right.
Right? So how is pandemic parenting different from just traditional parenting?
You know, My little one was born just several months before the pandemic started.
Mm-hmm.
And I think pandemic parenting, at least for me, is more about being more self-reliant and understanding that I was thinking about this the other day of my mom always says, like, your son will never love you more. Well, no, he will love you more than anyone else in the world,
mm-hmm.
even me. And I was like, oh, my gosh, but you're my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly believe that I love him more than I ever thought I could love anyone.
Anyone. Yeah. Anybody. Mm-hmm.
Anyone. Mm-hmm. And pandemic parenting, I lost a lot. My partner and I lost a lot of our in-person community when the pandemic
right.
started.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been a pair of two, and with just raising our human
yeah.
in person. And I know there's a lot of single COVID-safe parents out there who are doing phenomenal
work. Yeah, they
are
amazing.
And it's not easy, and really just recognizing that we're using the knowledge that we have on pathogens, on clean air, and pandemic parenting is something that I never thought I would have to do, but When I look at my counterparts who are not focused on breathing clean air, I tend to worry. I worry about the littles in my life who have
oh, yeah. mm-hmm.
had 5, 6, 7 COVID
uh-huh.
infections,
uh-huh.
and realizing like this is why we're doing it. We're doing it to make sure that my son doesn't become a statistic.
Right. Right. Yes. You know, when as COVID was starting, on the eve of it, our medicine man, our Stomp Ground community, had a Zoom and spoke to all of us who were parents. You know, there are pregnant people not a baby, you know, literally mm-hmm. a baby. And one of the things they said was, go back to the old paths. Because for Indigenous people, you were always pandemic parenting, or genocide parenting, or something parenting, famine parenting, drought parenting. I mean, there was always something that required you to be incredibly intentional about parenting. And so when I think about that, that's really what we had to do. What were the old paths? Rely on your community, you know, create a community that is curated and all aligned and in agreement on how we will behave about this. Self-sufficiency, right? You know, what is your space? And creating the resources and, you know, growing food if you have to, or whatever it is that you have to do. What were the things that people did that kept us alive during the Indian Wars, during Jim Crow, during a lot of other awful, terrible times? And that helped me so much. Those things helped me. And the number one thing in that was we had each other. Even the most terrible times and the most awful days, we had our families, we had our tribes, we had our nations and community. And I think a lot of people got kind of swept away in the independent, right? I'm a strong, independent person. Okay, well, good. All right, yes. But that doesn't keep you from being interdependent. Right? Everybody needs somebody. Or mm-hmm. that Lone Ranger idea, or people pulling themselves up by their bootstraps. I'm a self-made person. There's no such thing. No such thing. And so I think that is something a lot of people of all colors and cultures are rediscovering right now. And you can't do this by yourself. You just can't. I mean, even if you don't see who's helping you, someone is helping you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So how do we help one another during these times?
You know, that's a good question. Sometimes for me, it's just a GIF, one of those, like, or a meme.
Yes, yay!
Something that makes me laugh, or and also sometimes it's just being able to share, you know, like, today was a rough parenting day. I need some help. Or, you know, like,
yeah.
I am having a hard time with handwriting. Oh, goodness. being able to reach out and have some encouragement. And you've been so wonderful in being so encouraging of our pandemic parenting and homeschooling that I am so grateful for you. And I'm not sure if I answered your question.
You did. You really did in a great way, and you're welcome, and thank you, because what really it all comes down to is this. That's the help, right? Help is only help if it's helpful. So what you need in that moment is the help. And in a community that's healthy, you're able to express your needs, right, without having to feel vulnerable or whatever. And I think that's a really important part of how we help one another. Listen, don't judge, for example. The first rule of love is to listen, to actually help where we can. What resources do I know about? What do I have that I could share with you that might make your burden easier? It's like if we all decide we're going to carry a 1,000-pound box. Why would we do that? I don't know. But we all decide we're going to, and, you know, we get ready to pick it up, and, oh, it's heavy. But if we get 1,000 people, it's only a pound apiece.
Right.
And that's what I think is the help in this is, you know, it's not about numbers. Social media taught a lot of people that numbers, followers, like the numbers game, you know, I got 50,000 friends on Facebook. Well, do you though? But I think now we're learning that we have to identify the people who are truly our friends, truly our family, truly will be there for us in whatever capacity they can. And, you know, I always tease people. I'm like, I really do not do anything but send memes and tell you I love you. That is, like, how it is to be my friend. And sometimes that's just enough, you know. So let's talk about climate. I'm so excited I get to talk about climate with you, an actual expert. But, you know, a lot of conversation over the years is about the weather, right? Like people say, hey, nice weather we're having. What do you think of that weather? Wow, looks like rain. But now it's reached a new level. It's not just conversation about the weather. It's news about the weather. It's astonishment about the weather. It's not just one event every so often. You know, once-in-a-lifetime event is happening pretty much once every 24 hours. What's going on? And if we want to be climate-safe mamas, right, we want to be COVID-safe parents, but we also need to be climate-safe, it looks like.
Right. So one thing that, so I do some consulting on climate when people are thinking about moving.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just making sure that you're aware of what the climate looks like. What does the long-term weather patterns look like in the area that you're at?
Oh, wow.
And then also staying informed.
Uh-huh.
And knowing that we are we're an adaptable species.
Uh-huh.
And knowing that, you know, the climate's changing, the temperatures are getting hotter, faster, and we need to know, okay, well, how are we adapting? Well, being COVID safe is a huge part.
Yes.
Of being a climate-safe parent.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so you're already doing so much.
Yeah,
being
I feel better.
COVID-safe.
Mm-hmm.
And then with climate, just recognizing and staying informed is the biggest thing. I think one thing that we've been doing over the course of just 5 years is trying to make small adaptations. So before, when we lived in Wyoming, we had like a regular washer dryer. And now we don't. We have a little hand spun washer and dryer. Just in case the power goes out, we can still wash our clothes. Mm-hmm. And then making sure that we have some in-person community that we can, if there were a lot of winds that happened here, so being able to have some in-person community that we feel are safe enough to see if we need help, and recognizing that climate, and this is something that a lot of the media say, is like, the climate's always changing. But it really is ramping up. So making sure that you know what's going on, staying on track with the weather patterns, checking the weather, even if, I mean, here in the U.S., there has been discussions of defunding the National Weather Service. So how do you know when a tornado is coming if you don't have a radar to tell you? Paying attention, learning more about looking at things that are happening in the weather, going outside, making observations. Something that we teach our son a lot is how to make observations in the space around him, on the outside, and then seasonal changes where, okay, so the sun is up earlier. What do you think about that? Why is that happening? And really teaching our young ones about climate change is really, really important, because their world will be like no other worlds before them in terms of heat and CO2 measurements and things like that. And my one of my awesome mentors, I would always ask, like, I don't know what to do. Like, how do I protect my human from climate change? And she was like, well, make sure he's physically healthy.
Yes.
Mentally healthy, emotionally healthy, and financially healthy. And protecting him from COVID already takes care of so many of those things.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Wow. There's so much in what you're saying, too, because, again, you know, we're talking about lifetime changes, right? Like, that will impact a whole life. And so what about the practical steps? You know, I heard a friend of ours talking the other day, and she said she was just overwhelmed. So, of course, I sent her some memes. And then I thought, that's not wrong. In other words, yeah, you are overwhelmed. You're not wrong. Yeah, there's a lot for you to think about. So let's take some bite-sized pieces. And so what action steps can we take right now? Many of us are already COVID-safe mamas, but maybe now we need to be climate-safe mamas. We need to think like that, too. What are some bite-sized action steps we can take right now?
That's a good question. I was actually talking about this with someone else last week.
Yay!
So some bite-sized is, the first one is talking about it. The more I find, especially because I do deal with those moments of overwhelm, and like sometimes I can't even sleep because, like, they say you can't unknow what you already know.
And
talking about it, reaching out to people. Even, I mean, they say that scientists love to talk about their research. If you're following someone on Twitter or TikTok or something, you can reach out to them.
Yes.
And they'll love to talk with you. I love to talk about it. Another thing is to try and make sure that when you are feeling overwhelmed, especially with wildfires and hurricanes and droughts, taking a moment to just breathe. I find, especially with, it seems so big. Climate change is really big, and it also can get overwhelming. And thinking about, okay, well, what do I need to know now, and what can I learn about later? Especially with what can I do to prepare now? So even just having this conversation is helping prepare you. And then also trusting the science and the scientists who are saying, hey, we need to divest from fossil fuels. And really taking those steps, if you are able to vote for people, politicians and people who are running for different offices who take climate change seriously, that's a big step. And being able to understand, okay, well, what is happening with the climate? What are we seeing? Staying informed is also very important. But the biggest one in those moments of overwhelm is just taking a deep breath, taking a series of deep breaths and realizing that in the, I think Brenda McIntyre says this, of like, in this moment, in this space, I am safe.
Yes.
And reminding yourself you're safe.
Yes. Oh, that's beautiful. I miss my sister Robin so much, but she was Spirit Lake Dakota. And one day we were talking about something, and she said, you know, people think that being a nomad, a nomadic tribe, means you were just wandering around. I just wandered around from place to place. And she said, but it wasn't that way at all. It just meant you knew how to pivot. So, okay, brook dried up over here. We're all going over here to the river. Oh, the buffalo, the bison, they're going that way. We're going to follow them because that's our food source. Oh, wow, looks like that tribe has a plague or sickness. We're going that way, the opposite way. And really being nomadic was just a series of calculated strategic decisions. And that came back to me the other day when I was praying. And I thought, you know, we're going to have to learn to pivot. And it made me think of a conversation that I had with my brother one time when I was telling him how worried I was about a particular situation. And he said, what are you doing about it? And I was like, well, I'm telling you how worried I am. I guess I could go post some memes about it or something, but, you know. And he said, well, what if you replaced every time you worried about it with an action step? And so that's kind of what I want to say to our friends today. I'm going to put those two pieces of advice together for us. We're going to have to learn to pivot, right? I understand that maybe every year of your life, like that you can remember, you had a big crowded family birthday party. But maybe now you have to pivot. You know, put the mask on, the air purifiers, the things that we have to do every day. We have to change some of those things. We have to make calculated and strategic decisions that keep taking us toward better circumstances and better things. Maybe you really were going to build a house on a particular place where they have landslides and mudslides every year. You know, maybe now you won't do that. I don't know. But the action steps, that's where I want to take us today. the get off the couch steps. Do you have a go bag packed? Do you have alternatives? You know, I people talk about being a prepper, about a homesteader, but for us, that's just being indigenous, right? Your root cellar, your food stash. I mean, in indigenous culture, we dried food, we preserved food. We understood that harvest was one season and you had to live through winter every year. So a lot can be learned from indigenous people, of course. You know, please listen to us. We've been here before. But what are your action steps going to be? What are you going to do? Every time you're tempted to worry about this or be so afraid or overwhelmed, that's a great sign to you that you should, you know, get everybody's documents together. That you should start thinking about ways that your household can survive and thrive, right? When people are talking to you about everything that's going on and what's happening, that's just your cue to make a calculated and strategic decision and pivot if you need to. I don't think we can have the kind of lives that we want without people like you, Veronica, who are willing to boldly and bravely speak the truth to us, willing to learn and grow and research, and then share it with us. And so I just want to say thank you for being that person.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me to chat with you today.
I'm so glad we had this conversation. You know, because I also want to say to all of our friends right now, however you're feeling right now is fine. But take that and ask yourself what love would do with that feeling. See, I think the problem with fear, anger, all of those, is if you take them apart from love, then they're just crippling. Mm-hmm. But when you say, wow, I am really worried. I just heard this information, and I'm really concerned about protecting my child, and I love my child so much that I will now take this action step of doing whatever it is that's the next best step. You'll be walking in love. One step taken out of love, another step taken out of love, another step taken out of love. You're walking, and you're walking in love. And that's what we're here to help you do. We're not trying to scare you or depress you or discourage you. We're trying to motivate you to look at the circumstances and see the truth, and then out of the love you have, for your family, your friends, your children, your community, your grandchildren, yourself, your pets, take the action steps that will keep you safe. Walk in love. One step out of love, one step out of love, one step out of love. You're walking in love. And then walk wisely. I'm so glad we had this conversation today. I want to thank our guest for joining us. Thank all of you who listen to us. You know, I think about how we have a miracle every month just about to be able to stay on the air. And so I'm grateful for our donors, our sponsors, our platforms, our friends, our guests, our listeners, our prayer partners, anyone who's ever done anything kind or loving for us. We appreciate it. We remember it. We talk about it. We think about it. We say prayers for you. Because you didn't have to do it, but you did. And everybody here is grateful. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima. I can't wait till we are together next time for a great conversation. Conversations with Dawn Karima are always a blessing to me, and I hope we're a blessing to you. I hope somebody's told you today, but you are so loved. I'll see y'all next time.
You come and save her. Better believe it. Get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard. Ain't never look back. Once the world forgave you.
Lord, can you come and save her? Let her belly big, get on her knees and pray her, then pray her, and never look back once the war.
You've got the power, the world's greatest radio, talktainmentradio.com.